Hello, Cleaning Nation. It is so good to be with you again. Welcome to the place that you will get everything you need to have the cleaning company you've always wanted, the cleaning company that you deserve. If you would like to be a guest on the show, if you've got questions for me, or want to hire me to speak at your next event, all that fun stuff can be had through our producer, Natalie. You can reach out to her at nat@growmycleaningcompany.com, or just give us a call, 480-648-5149. Do it now. We love hearing from you, Cleaning Nation. Today, we are chatting with an old friend of mine, not calling you old, my friend, just an old friend, Travis Bliffin from Tidy Tennessee. Tidy Tennessee serves Nashville with residential cleaning service. If you want to reach out to Travis and his team, you can get a hold of them at www.tidytn.com. Travis, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me on. And you're right. Definitely known each other for a while here, and we're excited to be on the show. Just a quick intro. We're a relatively new cleaning company. And we've decided to kick it off, and we're going pretty aggressively here in the beginning with this new company. We're trying some new stuff too. I don't really have a background in the cleaning business like a lot of people. I guess people come from two different ways. You have people that have experience in the cleaning business, and then they grow from a cleaner into the business itself. And then you have people like myself who looked at it as a business from the outside and decided, hey, we're going to give this a shot. So that's what we're doing, and we're kicking things off, and we're excited to be on the show and definitely to learn some stuff from you, because I know you've been putting out a ton of good information, and we're ready to learn and make some mistakes.
Cool. And let me give just you guys a little bit insight how I met Travis, because it's kind of an interesting story. So those of you that have been with me since the back in the day, my first podcast is I'm a Freaking Genius, or my book is I'm a Freaking Genius, Why Is This So Hard? I'll throw a link up to Amazon on it so you guys can all get it. But I had a podcast called Conversations with a Genius, and I interviewed some rock stars in the business world from, I mean, everything, online marketing, offline marketing, selling businesses. Gosh, if it had to do with business, I talked to someone, and I had some super cool guests. One of my guests was Travis. He also owns an SEO company, and I'll put a link to his, if you guys fall in love with Travis, I'll put a link to the episode he and I did on The Freaking Genius. You can check that one out. And funny enough, he'd reached out to Natalie, I don't know, a couple weeks back, it feels like, wanting to be on the show. And I'm like, well, we don't really need an SEO guy, and it's really for owners of cleaning. He's like, no, dude, I'm starting a cleaning company. So I was like, what? So anyway, Travis and I came from a totally different space where I was doing something different, he was doing something different. And I guess fate has brought us back together to make some amazing pod. What do you think, brother?
Yeah, I think so. I think this is going to be great. I'm excited to see what we can learn here and put it into action.
Cool. And the encouragement I want to give to you, Cleaning Nation, is my understanding, and Travis, if I put words in your mouth that aren't true, feel free to shut me up and correct me. But my understanding is Travis, in his SEO universe, is always search engine optimization, is always kind of looking for pockets of, hey, where are people searching and where is their unmet need in the market? And he saw cleaning as, man, there's a lot of people searching for this, and maybe even more people searching for it than there are good providers to provide it. So instead of just selling the leads, I'm going to make money and actually hire cleaners and do this thing like kind of for real. Is that a good summary, or did I make some of that up?
No, that's just about perfect. Yeah, we were checking out the market and doing some research, and we originally planned to create some lead generation sites and then pass those leads on to other people, kind of like a thumbtack style site, something of that effect. And then the further we got into the market, we realized that it was just really prime for the picking. So we decided to set up shop and see if we could take over it for ourselves.
So the encouragement that should give you, Cleaning Nation, is, man, people that are not in the industry are on the outside looking in going, there's opportunity here. I want to jump into that market. And just so you guys know, for you listeners, I've owned car dealership and construction company and manufacturing, obviously a cleaning company. And the reason I chose to work exclusively with cleaning companies or owners of cleaning companies is, same as Travis, I see the need. I see there's a desire. I see it's an easy business to succeed in. So anyway, you got all that to say, you are in the right spot. If you're thinking about owning a cleaning company or starting a cleaning company, or you have a cleaning company, life is good. That said, how can I help you today, my friend?
Well, the one thing that we're really interested in today is we noticed that a lot of cleaning companies would complain, and it's because they used independent contractors or they had hourly part-time staff. So the big complaint was that they would call people for jobs and people wouldn't necessarily respond. So that's one of the first big things we've tried to tackle. And to tackle that, what we've decided is to actually put our cleaning staff on salary so that they're on the clock from, you know, 8 to 5 or 9 to 5 each day, so that we know they're always available whenever we need the cleaning jobs done. And but I'm curious to know from obviously someone with more experience what some of the drawbacks of that might be, and if we're headed down a kind of a destructive path or not.
Okay, cool. So, and I just want to encourage you, Travis, and Clean Nation as well. There's really two big, you know, there's a lot of nuance, and we could, you know, we've done hundreds of hours of podcasts, and there's just thousands out there on the internet. So there's lots of nuance, but I would say 80% of the stuff I work with is how to get and keep good, not just crappy, but good employees, and how to get and keep good customers. So sounds like Travis is like, hey, I've got a background in getting the customers, but this whole employee thing, especially in the cleaning business, which is, you know, those of you in the business know it's a little bit of a different kettle of fish than we're dealing with in, you know, kind of quote unquote real life. So yeah, if you can get that handled, Travis, with your background in getting clients, this is going to be a very easy business for you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the million-dollar question, though, is how can we get that part of it handled? Because as far as I can tell, there's not an easy way yet, but we are still learning, though. So I'm excited to hear what you have to say and to put it into action and see if we can get that part covered.
You're in the right spot, brother, because you absolutely can get it covered. So there's, and I would just, for those of you listening, go, ooh, Travis is in trouble. Mike's going to start yelling at him. So here it comes. No, just kidding, Travis. We love you, brother. But I will say, I would not, if I woke up in your shoes, I would not go down the path that you've got on with the full-time employees. And I'll give you a bunch of kind of holistic overreaching reasons why that'll kind of touch a bunch of different things about how an effective cleaning company is run. Just to be clear, you do residential only, not commercial, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So generally, most of your clients, I'm assuming, you'll be Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. You're not going to be doing lots of nights and weekends, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All good. That's fantastic. And I could see where that would lend you to, well, why don't I just have 8 to 5 Monday through Friday cleaning? Okay. So a couple things. First of all, many times you're going to get cleaners and they come in, they want, oh, I got to have 40 hours. I need 40 hours. I got kids. I got to have money. Almost everyone's going to tell you that. The problem is when you actually start working them 40 hours, when I say working, I mean cleaning 40 hours, one of two things will happen. Well, one of three things. One, you'll find a unicorn, one every 517 people. Not that bad, but very, very infrequently, someone that will actually thrive in that environment. But that's going to be truly less than 5% of the people that you work with. So I'm not saying it never happens, but it's very rare. It's not a way to build a business. Two, they'll get burnt out and quit. And they won't tell you I got burnt out and quit. They'll make something up or start getting sick a lot, or all of a sudden they'll just become a problem employee. What happens is they're burnt out. It's too much work. They can't handle it. Or three, I missed the third one. Or their work will be, that's what happens probably 80% of the time. The other time is their work steadily declines until you're constantly yelling at them and they quit or you fire them. And as you see, one of those is a good outcome, but that's a very rare occurrence. Two of those are a bad outcome in that you have bad customer service, you know, unhappy customers, unhappy boss, and unhappy employees. So I coach to start people out like at that 15 to 20 hour work, maybe 25 hours a week, and make them earn their way to 30 or 35. And I generally I never have full-time cleaners. It's just too hard on the body physically. You can't do a good job. Again, 1 in 100 guys or gals will actually be able to do that and crank out 40 hours, but you got to let them earn their way to that. So if someone insists that they have to have 40 hours, I tell them no problem. We start you off at 20 or 25. And once you do that and you show up on time every time for 3 months, then we'll get you extra hours and have to earn their way up. And then you'll kind of notice most of them around that 20, 25 hour mark will actually be happy. Like you're trying to give them extra shifts. Like, oh, I'm busy or I'm tired or I can't do it. So that's the first thing is your kind of 40 hour work week presupposes that they're going to be working 40 hours a week. There's only two kinds of work that you have in a cleaning business, for pay work and not for pay work. For pay work is basically cleaning, maybe selling, right? If you're going to pay a commission or something, that actually could be for pay. Everything else in terms of, gosh, I don't know, fixing vacuums or tidying up the office or answering the phones or, you know, trying to sell or do marketing, depending on the effectiveness, those are generally not for pay work. And the margins in the cleaning business aren't terrible, but they're not so fat that we can have people just kind of sitting around like, hey, you get paid the same, you know, $2,000 a month, whether you clean, you know, whether you do a $200 worth of 4-pay work or $5,000 worth of 4-pay work, we're going to pay the same $2,000. Financially, that's not going to work. So the big two problems you're going to have to overcome for the system that you've got is you have to find a bunch of unicorns that are willing and able to work 40 hours a week. And if you can't do that, you're going to have to find a way to charge a heck of a lot more to be able to afford to pay people to not do things that are directly earning you money. Thoughts, questions, comments, rude remarks so far?
Yeah. So that's the unicorn thing is funny because within the first week of interviewing people, we thought that we found one, and it was really interesting because they were same situation you just described, very eager to work, full time. The whole I have a family, I want to work full time, a hard worker, and they actually quit yesterday, so they made it 3 days. And then that was our first employee that resigned already with the model. So I could definitely see where we're going to run into some issues with that. So I would be interested to know too, to the effect of having the part-time people, how would you recommend that we could, whenever you're talking to somebody in the situation and they say, we really need 30 hours a week or we really need the 40 hours a week, something to that effect, then how would you go about setting up an agreement for them that is satisfactory for them to actually come on board with the job and not be still out there constantly looking for somebody else who's offering, that 30 or 40 hours, which whether they actually want it may or may not be true, but that's their perception at the time.
Yeah, the hardest thing I've found in life is to convince someone to do something that they don't want to do. The easiest thing is to convince something to do something they do want to do. So I would really, instead of finding people that are like, Travis, I need 40 hours, I'll starve to death, you want my kids to be out in the cold, how dare you, and try to convince that guy to work 20 hours a week, I would reconfigure my advertising saying, looking for part-time, looking for extra income, want to make more money, 20 hours a week. I would focus on attracting people that want what you're offering as opposed to trying to convince the people that don't want what you're offering that what you're offering will work for them.
Okay, no, that makes perfect sense. And then I guess the one other question that kind of leads me into is, when you have these people and they're looking for part-time income, then what do you feel like is a good way to handle the scheduling and to make sure that people actually do show up for jobs? Because I'm thinking that maybe if I'm just looking for a part-time job or a little bit extra money, the cleaning business isn't really going to be my priority a lot of the time. And so you might have the higher rate where people just don't call back or they don't show up. So anything that you could point us in the right direction on how to, find the right part-time people, I guess, would be really helpful to us as we kind of get this thing started.
All right. That is the best question you've asked so far today. And I always say the better the questions, the better the result. And that's a solid, solid question. So let's jump into that a little bit. And then we've got to head out because we can only go so long. But what you've did is so typical in terms of kind of the life cycle of a cleaning company owner. I'm so glad I get to talk to you because I think I can save you and Cleaning Nation, everyone out there listening that's kind of in this place, a lot of steps. So many times people go, and this is a reasonable thing, I'm not knocking you, this is just typical, is they'll get in the cleaning business and they'll go, well, this is miserable, right? My employees are making me miserable. I didn't come into this to be miserable. Well, if I've got a problem and that problem requires money and I have money, well, then I don't have a problem. I'll just pay them more money, right? Maybe at $9 an hour, I get losers, but at $11 an hour, I'll get winners. Or for your philosophy is, hey, if I'm paying hourly and I'm getting losers, maybe if I pay salary, I'll get winners, which is just a reiteration of if I give them more money, they'll do what I want. Am I kind of making up what you said, or is that a fair assessment of where we're at? Yeah.
I almost feel like somebody showed you our initial hiring offers and then the increased prices to find better employees after you say that.
Got to be totally honest. I've had this conversation more than 27 times this month. So I've done it a couple times. I absolutely feel your pain. Awesome. Yeah, that's what I help people. That's all my coaching, online, offline. That's what I do is help, or I should say on air, off air. This is all I help as owners of cleaning companies. So totally get it. Okay, so I'm going to help you. Great. We're going to walk through that and give you kind of the light at the end of the tunnel. So I'll save you a bunch of time and headache and gray hair. The more money doesn't work. That's not it. You could pay salary. You can pay $12 an hour. Maybe if you somehow got to 20, $30 an hour, some like obscene amount, yes, at that point it would work, but you'd be broke. So I don't like competing on price, whether it's when I'm selling to, you know, when I'm selling to the maid service, I certainly don't want to be the cheapest town. If anything, I want to be the most expensive. With when I'm paying, I don't want to always try and be like, well, we're at $11 an hour, because then as soon as somebody gives them $11 and a nickel an hour, they're out of there. So I don't like, you know, and again, you got to pay fair, right? I always coach my people to pay 10% above average. So we're not looking to screw people or get them for free, but that's not what gets them there. The problem comes in when you confuse, they are here for money, and if I give them more money, they'll do what I want, because that's when you're gonna get disheartened, because that doesn't work that way. What you need to provide, and we've done a couple episodes, I'll see if I can find them and link to them on the show notes, is a community and a sense of something more important than themselves. So most of these people have only had $10 an hour jobs. And when I say 10, maybe it's minimum wage, maybe it's $12.42, but they've not made 80 grand a year. Okay. Most of their jobs are hourly, they're manual work. That's how it is. The problem with that is most of the bosses for their $10 an hour have the same mindset that we're talking about, is listen, I'm paying you $10 an hour, so shut up and sit down and do what I tell you to do. What that creates is the boss kind of feels like you may feel now, which is, I'm not even gonna learn this guy's name until he's been here a month, because they quit every 2 seconds, half of them don't even show up. So, you know, screw them. And the problem is they have that same mindset towards you. I had a crappy $10 an hour job last week, and now I've got this crappy $10 an hour job. And if you give me any lip, or if I wake up hungover and don't want to show up, then by golly, I'm not going to show up, and I'll just go find another crappy $10 an hour job tomorrow. So the problem is you treat them like they're replaceable, and they treat you like you're replaceable. And it's this nasty situation of nobody treating each other with respect. The way that you overcome that is you create a community, you create something special that they've not been a part of. You let them know that they feel loved, that you appreciate them as a person, that they're important to you, that you don't just look at them as a pair of hands to make money. And that's done by core values. So for me, my core values have always been have fun, make money, be real, and help out. And that's what I built my last couple multi-million dollar companies off of, and people wanted to come. And yeah, we paid better than elsewhere, but that wasn't it. They wanted to come because it was something special. And they're like, man, I heard and I saw your website. I can't believe you guys are actually like this. And I just want, and people that weren't even in my industry would come around just to see what we did. So we had a culture that they couldn't get anywhere else. It was irreplaceable. So people couldn't compete. If I'm paying a guy $42,000 and someone else comes and says, well, we can give you $48,000, they're like, pass, because I've had crappy jobs. I've had crappy bosses. I know what it feels like to hate going into work every day, and I freaking love the people that I am with, and I want to be a part of them, and I don't want to let them down. That's what's going to get hungover Bob making $11 an hour out of bed on a Monday morning when he didn't want to come to work, as well. I know and I love these people, and there's a community, and they need me and I need them, and I can't replace this job. I don't want to go back to the other crappy $10 an hour jobs that I've lived my whole life. This is special. So that's I know that's a big concept and tough to implement, but when you do, you will have a lot more fun. Your employees will love you. You'll find stupid stuff like, you know, we used to give awards and plaques, and we give awards for everything. And it just, I don't say breaks my heart, but it would melt my heart when I'd go into employees' home, you know, 2 years later, and they literally have that plaque that I gave them, or a picture of me handing it to them that we gave them on their like mantle, like displayed. Like they really, it was important to them that they felt special, and it wasn't just another crappy $10 an hour job. I know that's real conceptual, but was that helpful?
Oh yeah, no, that's definitely helpful. And that's something kind of in the back of our mind that we've been thinking about a little bit too. And it's, you know, sometimes taking it from the concept until the actual tactical actionable plan is where it takes a little bit of trial and error, I suppose. But it's definitely good to get kind of reaffirmed that those things are important. And that, I mean, that applies to the cleaning business, but in any business though, those are still great points. I noticed that when we apply that to anything, we do keep employees longer and they seem happier. And I'm hoping that, you know, we can get it worked out for TidyTN that they will, you know, they'll be, even if they're small things, that they'll find things that they enjoy. And that's what really keeps them around for the long term, because as I'm sure you know, it seems like there's a really high turnover rate in the cleaning business. So that's kind of one of those you know, Mount Everest type obstacles that we really want to tackle in the beginning and get that right. So, you know, I think that's definitely a great path for us to try to go down and get the details lined out.
Yeah. And the beautiful thing is this isn't, you'll move it from employees being kind of this necessary evil that you hate. And it's like, well, I got to have them, but they're the worst. And if I'm just going to be in the cleaning business, I guess my life's just going to suck. It moves kind of from that to this, wow, I actually appreciate them. And I actually enjoy seeing them on a personal level. And they love coming here and I love coming here. And it really changes from a problem that must be solved to, just a positive thing all around. So, okay, I could go. This is my passion. So, I could ramble on and on and on for the rest of the till time ends. But just to keep this podcast some semblance of order, let's hit the lightning round. We're going to turn the tables. I'm going to shut up for 2 seconds. Give you the opportunity to share with Cleaning Nation some of your experience. 3 quick questions. You're going to give 3 amazing answers. Question number 1: what's the best advice you've ever received?
I'd say the best advice I ever received, it doesn't necessarily apply just to cleaning, it really applies to everything in your life, is don't be afraid to take imperfect action. Even if you take massive imperfect action, you're going to have a lot better results 99% of the time than if you do nothing. So that's the best piece of advice. It's something that in both businesses and throughout my life, I've always kind of stuck to that. Don't be afraid to just go out there and try it 100 miles an hour. If stuff goes wrong and breaks along the way, then that means you know something now that you didn't know before. So best piece of advice for sure.
That is spoken like a true entrepreneur. Well said, Travis. Question 2, what's the biggest mistake you've made? I know you're new, but that's okay. What's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business that we can all learn from?
So we made a couple mistakes so far. I guess I'd narrow it down to 2. One has to do with the just employee intake process, the employee hiring process. We didn't build necessarily a good enough system in the beginning to account for the volume of cleaners that we would actually need. And then the other portion of that was obviously the thought of doing a salary position versus the other pay models. We kind of ruled those out right away, thinking that we were solving a problem, but it sounds like we've actually just opened ourselves up for some other problems. So 2 mistakes we've made so far, but both great learning experiences, I'd say.
Great way to look at it. And I'm glad that we got to talk. It's so fun to talk to people new in the business. I talk to people who've been doing this 10 years and that's painful. And we're like, hey, this isn't the way to do it. You could have done this. Like, oh, so it's nice to be able to help people that are just starting out going, well, I can save myself the headache, you know, chip, chop, chip. All right. Last question, my friend, what's one simple idea, something that Cleaning Nation can implement right away today before they go to bed, something easy that will improve either their life or their business?
Okay, so here's one that I've noticed, and this comes from what I've seen, and we've been researching the cleaning industry now for several months. So we've looked at a lot of ins and outs of different ways that people generate clients, and a lot of people lean very heavily towards relying on third-party sites, Thumbtack, Yelp, Yellow Page, things like that, to generate their customers. That's one thing that I would say you really should reconsider if you have the means to generate them any other way, because if you generate a customer from your own paid advertising or from showing up organically when they search or any way that you are, you know, you make the first contact with them, then by the time that you talk to the cleaning customer and you know, it can be for residential, it can be for commercial, it can be construction jobs, but they find you on your terms and you start to paint a picture from that first interaction of what makes your business unique. And by doing that, you take away that the problem that I've seen with a lot of contractors outside of the cleaning business, even where, say somebody goes to Thumbtack and they submit and they get, you know, 20 bids back for cleaning their house. Well, they've met all 20 cleaners on essentially the same terms. So the person who's doing it for $30 less looks just as viable as the person who does it for, you know, double the price of the lowest person. And the big differentiator there is the ability to educate them and to kind of paint your picture before you get to that point. So that's what I would say everybody should look at, is how you can control the journey with potential customers.
Bring in the heat, Travis. I couldn't agree more. It sounds like I'm listening to my own self-talk. That was well said, Travis. I agree with me. Just kidding, man. You did do good. Thanks for joining us, brother. Thanks for sharing your passion, your desire to grow, your experience. I appreciate you. I know that Cleaning Nation appreciates you. When you want to check out Travis's show notes page, all the links I mentioned, and discover everything you need to grow your cleaning company, it is all at growmycleaning.com. company.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.